Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Meat is murder.
Strange.
Occupation is a crime.
Odd.
As a black, lesbian, feminist, socialist, poet.
Weird. Out of the ordinary.
Bomb them back to the Stone Age. Say it's for their own good because their culture's inferior.
Queeries. A queer take on the world.
Today on Queeries, we're asking, is polyamory queer? What is polyamory? It's a hybrid word, poly for Greek, which means many or multiple, and amor is Latin for love. It's the practice, desire, or acceptance of intimate relationships that are not exclusive with respect to other sexual or intimate relationships, with knowledge and consent of anyone or everyone involved. So we've got a couple of interviews today. The first one is with Tathra Street. She's an advocate and workshop facilitator that supports people to flourish within polyamorous relationships. And I asked Tathra her views on polyamory, and this is what she had to say.
I think of polyamory as the capacity and perhaps willingness to be able to have multiple relationships, so to be able to love more than one person. And that doesn't always mean sex, but sometimes it does. For some people, it's about intimacy. And, you know, for some people, maybe it's about, you know, being able to be naked in bed with someone but not having sex. And there's an intimacy level there that you might not have with your best friend. There's non-monogamy, which is sort of a broad overview of anything that's not monogamy, and that includes cheating, and that's the vast majority of what there probably exists in the world in terms of non-monogamy. And then there are open relationships, and that can involve people who include things like don't ask, don't tell. It's okay if you're with somebody else, but I don't really want to know about it. And then there is, you know, things like swinging, so it's, you know, it's a consensual situation, but it's not relationship oriented. It's more sex focused. It's less about the emotional connection. Whereas polyamory is more about connecting with people on an emotional level, having relationships. Sometimes it's shorter relationships, sometimes it's longer relationships. In polyamory, it's not so much about the length of a relationship that defines its success, but it is something that's probably a bit different than a regular friendship. And, you know, sometimes there are blurry lines there. It's not all cut and dried. And perhaps there's a bit of a spectrum. The resources that I am particularly fond of center around the ethical slut and opening up, and I particularly like those frameworks, I suppose. For me, the framework is around having a relationship agreement that is explicit and written, not just verbal, that is regularly reviewed so that, you know, when things happen like, oh, I thought you meant this when you said that, you know, we have different meanings for the same words and different interpretations and that sort of thing. And, you know, the other primary component of that framework is consent, that everybody that's involved knows what's happening and knows about other people's relationships. And, you know, they have a level of understanding about what's okay to share, what's not, what's okay to be public about, what's more private, that sort of thing. We use the skills that we've got, and that's partly why your relationship tool belt exists, is to support people to develop those skills, because we don't really get taught how to negotiate, how to set our boundary, how to understand our partner's needs for safety, how to understand our own needs for safety, how to understand the conflict that arises when things like, you know, what we think of as jealousy, when in fact it might be naivety, it could be envy, it could be insecurity, it could be not knowing the status of your relationship. You know, all of those things are factors. I read The Ethical Spot, you know, years and years ago, like 15 years ago, and that was, like, I read it over and over again. It was like my Bible, and that was what gave me the ability to do what I did in being able to have multiple relationships. And through my experience and through, you know, hearing other people's experiences and difficulties and challenges down the track, that's partly why we created the opportunity for people to learn those skills. But, you know, lots of people can do it through their own devices, whether it's through, you know, taking courses or just reading books or working with a counselor to look at their own issues. Do your best, I suppose, and, you know, get skilled up, talk to other people, get connected to a community. I think that's really important. And it's very exciting to see that there's a bit of a queer poly community emerging in Melbourne. Well, in my early days, I was a bit of an activist, and I quite liked the idea of anarchy, not from a just being able to do whatever you want, but being responsible for your own actions and being able to envision a world where we weren't so ruled by structures and laws, and that we could actually follow our own sense of innate guidance and wisdom and have that be balanced with the greater good. So for me, being able to take the boundaries off love, you know, if I could take the boundaries off love in terms of gender, why can't I do it in terms of, you know, the traditional idea of monogamy? And why not just entirely throw out the traditional idea of what relationships are supposed to be about? Why can't we just have them be based on what's in our heart and navigate based on that? And, you know, it does take a level of emotional maturity. And honestly, you know, people have surprised me in their ability to step up into that. Sometimes it just takes a situation to go, oh, right, okay, this is tough. I don't know how to do this. I'm going to find the support and, you know, figure this out as we go along. And, you know, sometimes having the books available is really useful, and sometimes that's not enough. I was really blessed that my community was really exploring polyamory, and it was kind of like polyamory was the new black. Everyone was trying it. And so I got to experience that with my community. And yeah, it was just what everyone was starting to explore, whether they, honestly, there were times where people were doing it, whether they really wanted to or not. And then it started to, you know, people got to the point where I was like, you know what, this actually isn't working for me. And sometimes it was about the fact that they were, felt they were oriented around monogamy. And my belief is, in a lot of cases, it's that there are aspects of it they haven't been able to negotiate and didn't have the skills for that. It's not for everybody. It does take a willingness to be open, honest, vulnerable, courageous. You know, I mean, but anyone that's queer, you know, being out as queer these days, it takes honesty, being honest with ourselves, being courageous, being vulnerable. Like, you know, every time any of us who may look queer, and I don't want to necessarily go down that track, but we are being courageous by challenging the norm. And thankfully, we're still standing on the shoulders of giants, in that there are a lot of people who have come before us to make it safe for us to be able to walk down the street looking the way we do. So, you know, now we're beginning to establish these shoulders of giants that people are beginning to walk on, in terms of being able to love the way that we do, and not just in terms of gender, but in terms of more than one person at a time. For some people, you know, having no hierarchy in their relationships is what works for them, and that's their belief, and they work with that, and I totally respect that. And for some people, it is very much about, I have a primary partner, it's okay for me to have secondary partners, but I don't want those relationships to impact my primary relationship, and that may be as a result of a child being involved or just personal choice. For me, it was more about the fact that I've been with my partner for nearly 10 years now. And for someone to come in, you know, even, you know, 5 years ago, there just wasn't really a comparison between my 5 years and their 5 weeks. So it kind of, almost a default way, there was a hierarchy. And it didn't need to be like, you know, I have veto power and all that kind of stuff. It was, I had a lot of respect for my partners and for their relationship. And I recognized the benefit that I got out of their relationship and the impact that it had when their relationships weren't going well. That had on my relationship as well, not just with my partner, but just in my world in general.
That was Tathra Street talking about polyamory. And if you want to know more about the workshops and the relationship tool belt that Tathra runs, visit Queery's Facebook page and our upcoming podcast, which you will be able to find on www.joy.org.au/queries. Yes, you are listening to Queries on Joy 94.9. During the week, we play Melbourne's most uplifting musical mix for your weekends and or weekdays. And during the weekends, we play interesting things like Is Polyamory Queer? Next up, we have a very short interview with Clayton Wimshurst. He's a VAC volunteer or a Victorian AIDS Council volunteer for the last 13 years. And he tells us about his loving relationships and views on polyamory versus monogamish.
When my relationship first started, we were living in different countries, and so we actually started with an open relationship, and we went from there to coming back together, and our relationship closed for a while. And then when we started, we've travelled separately, and at those points, my partner and I agreed that the relationship could be open when we're travelling. Polyamorous is about love, and this is purely about recreation. So it's just about having fun outside of the relationship as well. So open relationship is probably the general term people use. Relationships, I think, are about trust, and you can be non-monogamous and still have trust. And that comes back onto the rules that you create around the non-monogamy and making sure you stick to them. And if you do that, you'll have trust. Dan Savage calls it monogamish, which I kind of like. It's a monogamish relationship.
And what's monogamish?
A relationship that is mostly monogamous, but there's sort of bits and pieces on the side. So his relationship is monogamish as well. And he sort of talks about the fact that you can be really good at monogamy, but you don't necessarily have to have been fully monogamous for your whole life. If you've been in a relationship for 50 years, you've had sex with someone else twice, it means you're actually pretty good at monogamy, but it's not, you're not perfect. No one's perfect at anything. So you don't have to be fully monogamous all the time to be good at monogamy. I do love just one. My wonderful partner, you know, we have a relationship where he's not really a communicating sort of person. So we talk often, but we also have plenty of time just where we're just relaxing in the same room together and that sort of thing without actually conversing. He watches Japanese TV. I watch English TV. So it's sort of, yeah, it's love. I definitely love him a lot. And
you don't envisage a time when either or both of you will fall in love with other people at the same time?
I don't envision that. I don't know how he'd deal with that situation. I could probably handle it, but I don't see myself as a polyamoric person at this stage in my life. It doesn't mean that won't change in the future.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Queries, giving you a bit of a non-normative approach of life as a queer person. And today we are looking at polyamory. We've heard from Tathra Street. We've heard from Clayton Wimshurst. And next up we're hearing from Lauren Stardust. Lauren is a pop cultural commentator, a feminist, and a person who decided to journey into polyamory. And she shares her journey with us. And here's Lauren Stardust.
It's still a journey. It's still a journey. If you'd like examples, I mean, my first attempt at polyamory when I was younger was a couple who I knew who opened up their relationship. And because I both knew and trusted them both, I only dated the male partner, but because I was already aware of his other partner and everybody was above board, it was a lot easier to sort of fit into that. So that was really successful. And my latest relationship was very similar in that regard, in that it was a group of friends that trusted, and it meant that I could just sort of add on top of a friendship that we all had, and then it turned into a romantic love. It's since ended, which is fine, due to them having a bit of stress issues and things like that, and couldn't keep up two people in a relationship, because don't kid yourself, it's not easy. I also had relationships where it's been sort of casual, and then we've seen many people and everybody's been treated equally and whatnot. And I actually find those ones harder, because new partners sort of bring on that fear of, like, I'm not good enough. I've been raised in a world that's about monogamy, and that means if they're seeing someone else, it means I'm not good enough or these things and that. And I'm jealous because of I feel as though I'm not fulfilling something that they need, which is not necessarily the case either. You know, in friendships, there are needs that friends fulfills, that some friends fulfill that others don't. And that's not a bad thing. And you can translate that through to romantic relationships, I think, as well. It sort of started because I had friends who were, and I would look at that sort of that sort of relationship model and go, well, everybody seems happy, so what's the problem? And they also had told me it isn't always easy. You have to be very open to communication and open and honest with your feelings, to, like, just completely open and honest to everybody in the situation. And looking at that, I kind of went, okay, I feel as though I'd like to give this a try. And it really came down to I wanted to be able to date who I wanted. And I suppose that sounds like, oh, so greedy. No, it was just that why if everybody's honest and open and happy with it, and it's not cheating, it's everybody is fully aware of the situation, why then are we taught that we can't explore that if there's complete honesty? So with that in mind, I thought, I'm going to just give this a go. And there have been scenarios where it's been quite successful, and scenarios where it's sort of died off, and then other scenarios where I've thought that, oh, maybe this isn't for me. But looking back, it probably just comes down to maybe the relationship just wasn't right for me. And in all honesty, I don't know if polyamory will be for me forever, but I didn't want to miss out on romantic opportunities that I could have with people I already love and respect. To be honest, I'm not actually a big part of the community. I know there is a community, but it scares me a little because I'm quite new to polyamory. I've only had 3 or 4 relationships that I would consider polyamorous. I'm aware of the community, and almost was accidentally outed to the community because I'm still learning on my own and with partners. I wasn't ready to delve in. But as far as I've seen from the outskirts, they all seem very lovely. They also seem very trusting. They're amazing communicators, because it's just, it has to go part and parcel. If you want to have a successful polyamorous relationship, you have to communicate. And then I've heard stories from friends where it's not been so great. I mean, it's probably just sits, it's a different dynamic of relationship, but people are still people, and it's not always going to work out. From where I stand, it's there are, like, the people have parties in regards to it, invite many of their metamors and partners and so on along to them, and it's very open in that people will go to parties to meet others and so on. But at the same time, there are a lot of rules in place depending on the relationships, depending on the particular group of people who are in a relationship. So if you go to a party and you know that several of your partners will be there, and they have several of their partners will be there, but there'll also be new people there, it's a lot of hard work, as you can imagine, to sort of go, like, okay, so what are you comfortable with? And am I at this party with you tonight versus with another partner? Or is it okay if I'm with multiple partners, or seen on the arm of multiple partners, or they're on my arm, or so on? So, like, a lot of hard work, but I can see that for the polyamorous community, it's a big payoff for it. Where do you find the time? it's a toughie. To be honest, I often couldn't find the time, and then from there I'd feel quite bad because I'd have some partners who would then drop off, so to speak, or we just have to sort of settle down because either work plus creative work plus multiple partners, and then you don't want your relationships to feel like a job. But sometimes you just have to have a schedule. Like, it's okay, I see this person on Monday, or I see this person on Thursday, and sometimes partners will prefer it to be like ships in the night. They don't know about each other. They don't have to meet one another. There will be other instances where, like I said, like party or social gatherings where multiple partners will be invited and everybody's fine with that. But scheduling can be part of it, actually, like having to sort of come up with a roster of this is my allocated time with you. There is romance. Trust me, there is romance. And it's funny, I feel as though I'm the sort of person who has romantic relationships with all of my friends. Then romance and sexual relationships would come into more of the polyamorous play. So, like, my best friend, I can tell you right now, heterosexual, married, my best friend, and I just want to buy her flowers all the time. And if that's your idea of romance, or I want to snuggle up to her next one on the couch because I just love her so much with all of my heart. And I feel as though, like I said with earlier, I apply that romance to my friends and that I love them so very much. Then taking the next step with boyfriends I've had, topping it into a sexual relationship or transforming that into a sexual and romantic relationship, that can be done. Like I said, it's not for everybody, and a lot of people can struggle with dividing those romantic feelings. With my recent partner, couldn't keep up that sort of romantic feelings because of the stress they were dealing with, and also the scheduling. It didn't work. This was sort of one of our new experiences to polyamory. Both of us were trying it a little more seriously for the first time, and it didn't work, but it's always a learning curve. So the next one could be better, or, you know, you always say that within relationships, but you sort of just learn to balance it. It's not going to come straight away. It's not going to come straight away. I've had friends that it has come to straight away. I don't want to make too many generalizations, but if you can transform friendships into then have also a sexual element to it, then as far as I'm concerned, you've nailed the romance side of it already. Casual relationships are great. They're a lot of fun. A++ would recommend. But I think it comes down to feeling as though you actually, maybe it's something to do with feeling as though you have a place in someone's heart or in their life. Because a casual relationship is really good if you are doing a lot of work, or hell, if you would like to just like have sex with people casually and then get on with your life. That's awesome. But being able to have multiple sex partners who you can tell that you actually are in love with, because I mean, love is a part of polyamory as well, and being in sort of a committed relationship but with multiple people, so multiple committed relationships, it is, I guess, that framework. As long as everybody's honest and they know about one another, you get to have that committed relationship and feel as though you have a place and they have a place, and I suppose that is quite romantic.
When you've got multiple partners, that's like even more potential heartbreak, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's funny as well. It's not always a responsibility, but then you do have another partner sometimes to cry on the shoulder of. Usually I reserve that right for friends. I don't want to trouble my partners too much. Oh, but at the same time, these partners care about you. So it's not necessarily their responsibility, but a good caring relationship will have them come in and be like, hey, you all right? And is there anything I can do? And I understand you're very heartbroken right now. It's sort of being able to have that empathy without the jealousy that somebody else, that they were seeing someone else in the first place, because it's all above board. But yeah, there is a potential for heartbreak. There have been instances of friends of mine who have had all their partners sort of fall off in one week, and that's very tragic. But at the same time, you're like, you've got to have your friends to fall back on for that there. Yeah, so there is potential for that heartbreak, but as a bit of a hopeless romantic myself, you kind of just got to take that leap sometimes. I don't think it's that radical. I mean, I just sort of parallel it to, I have many friends, why can't I have many partners? To me, it's like saying I could only have one best friend forever. Then that seems a bit silly to me. I have multiple friends who I love for different reasons, and I know they love me for different reasons. So why couldn't I then have multiple partners? And if you're going to butt heads on things as well in those relationships, you've just got to communicate. And sometimes they're not going to work out, which is fine as well. Like, you let friends grow, you let people grow. But as a radical notion, I think that it's getting less and less radical. I didn't know about polyamory until I moved to a city for the first time, which was Brisbane. And I had my first polyamorous experience there. And then coming to Melbourne especially, which is such a very
like big and vast, diverse place compared to little conservative Brisbane. I have many friends in the polyamorous community, and of course, taking it at my own pace, I'm still sitting on the outskirts. So I suppose there's a little bit. It can be a little bit scary diving into it and learning it as well. There isn't sort of a handbook for polyamory, because monogamy is what we see shown everywhere. It's in film, it's in everything. So there is lots of material online that other people have provided, like More Than Two and so on. So with that in mind, it is growing. I think it's becoming more and more acceptable. I suppose it's hard for me to sort of see it as not acceptable, because I'm already a part of it. You know, I've already accepted it myself, so putting myself into a position where looking at it like it's radical is sort of a difficult one for me.
That was Lauren Stardust talking about her journey into polyamory. You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is Queries. My name's Lana Wolf. And we have been talking polyamory today, and really kind of positing the question, is polyamory queer? It's really quite interesting, because Tathra Street was talking about it, how she took the notion from being something that is really pushing the boundaries of societal norms, the breaking down the rules and regulations, and yet there is so many, I don't know if I want to say rules and regulations, but contracts, communication, boundaries that one must participate in to be polyamorous, and to do that ethically and with consent of everybody involved. Lauren Stardust talked to us about her journey into polyamory and the romance and the beauty involved. And also Clayton Wimhurst talked about, for him, he doesn't participate in polyamory relationships because it's about love and he only loves one fellow. However, he's only monogamish, or he's of course monogamish. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Don't forget to listen in each week at 12:30. Visit our Facebook page and also our upcoming podcast, www.joy.org.au, Queries.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.